When you pay with a card in Japan, that money doesn't always reach the shop that served you. In July 2026, a card payment processor called Zentoshin went bankrupt. There are three questions worth asking. First, why doesn't the money you pay by card reach the shop? Second, how did more than 20 years of accounting fraud go unnoticed by everyone? And third, who actually protects the money that flows through a payment system? Through the collapse of Zentoshin, we'll look at a blind spot in the cashless economy. Let's take them one at a time. First, let's lay out what happened. On July 6, 2026, the Osaka District Court opened bankruptcy proceedings against Zentoshin. Zentoshin was a payment processor, a middleman that handled card transactions, mainly for restaurants and bars. Its debts came to about 125.9 billion yen, or roughly $850 million, the largest corporate failure in Japan so far this year. Once the books are corrected, its real position may have been an insolvency of about 60.5 billion yen, roughly $410 million. With the bankruptcy, every one of Zentoshin's payment terminals stopped working. Zentoshin is suspected of having falsified its accounts for more than 20 years. The fraud breaks down into four main pieces. First, inflated deposits, money that did not exist, worth about 17 billion yen, roughly $115 million. Second, fictitious receivables it had no hope of collecting, about 15.4 billion yen, roughly $105 million. Third, overstated goodwill with no real value, about 8.8 billion yen, roughly $60 million. Fourth, money owed to member shops that it simply left off its books, about 21.7 billion yen, roughly $145 million. It recorded money that was never there, and hid money it was supposed to pay. The hardest hit were the member shops themselves. Sales already paid by customers, cards, but not yet passed on, are now treated as claims in the bankruptcy. In other words, there is no guarantee those lost sales will ever be fully repaid. A National Federation of Japanese Restaurant and Food Service Groups issued an emergency statement. It urged shops to stop the terminals at once, tally their unpaid sales, and switch to another payment method. Now let's look at what Zentoshin's business actually was. When a customer pays by card, there's always a delay before the shop receives the money. A normal payment processor simply relays the money from the card companies onto the shop. What Zentoshin offered went a step further, something called early payout. Instead of waiting for the card companies, Zentoshin paid the shop first, out of its own funds. That is closer to factoring, buying up a business's receivables, a form of short-term finance. This early payout model has a built-in weakness. The more the business grew, the more fees it earned, but the more money it had to front, snowballing all the while. Zentoshin claimed its number of member shops passed 200,000 in 2018. It constantly had to cover the gap between money it had already advanced and money still coming in. The bigger it got, the faster that wheel had to spin, much like running just to stand still. Here it's worth separating two big numbers. 125.9 billion yen and 60.5 billion yen mean very different things. The larger figure, 125.9 billion yen, roughly $850 million, is Zentoshin's total debt. Most of that was borrowed from financial institutions, 63 lenders, with loans of about 113 billion yen, roughly $765 million. The single largest lender is reported to be a regional credit union, the Kinki Sangyo Credit Union, at about 21.9 billion yen, roughly $150 million. A credit union like this is a small, member-owned cooperative lender, not one of Japan's big banks, which makes the size of its exposure striking. The other figure, 60.5 billion yen, roughly $410 million, is the real insolvency, how far its debts exceeded its assets. Strip away the fraud, and a paper surplus flips into a deep hole. So how did people react? Let me summarize the Reddit thread by theme. The discussion came mostly from residents of Japan and close Japan watchers, rather than a distant foreign audience. The first striking reaction was disbelief at the model itself. How, people asked, does a business that just sits and collects fees ever manage to go bankrupt? Others suspected that someone must have been embezzling the money. The most upvoted comments laid out a clear chain of events. Its genuine strength, they said, was paying shops on a short cycle, weekly rather than monthly. But to grow its sales, it took on gray zone businesses that struggled to pass normal screening. It then emerged that it had systematically approved shady operators, which led to regulatory penalties. As a result, its lenders pulled back their credit. The cash dried up and bankruptcy followed. That was how they told the story. And some shared the damage close to home. Memberships reportedly fell from 200,000 before the pandemic to about 20,000 today. That's roughly 9 in 10 gone, mostly as restaurants and bars closed for good. One user reported that a friend's wine bar in Osaka lost about 1 million yen, roughly $7,000, in unpaid sales. Now we reach the heart of this video. Let's dig into the collapse from five angles. First, reading this as a nightlife business, simply worn down by COVID, misses the center. The fraud is suspected to go back more than 20 years, so the finances were likely broken long before the pandemic. COVID was probably the final push that forced the hidden distortion out into the open. The idea that it lost out to code payment apps like PayPay also misses the main cause. PayPay, Japan's dominant smartphone QR code payment app, only spread from 2018 onward, which doesn't line up with fraud that began 20 years earlier. Second is the nature of early payout as high-risk finance. The shops least able to pass screening are exactly the ones most desperate for money fast, so demand for early payout is strongest there. But those same shops carry the highest risk of closing, or of fraudulent transactions the processor can't recover. A 2024 scandal over falsified merchant identities is best seen as one symptom of that high-risk finance surfacing. Still, it would go too far to conclude that every member shop was somehow shady. Most of those 200,000 shops were surely ordinary restaurants going about their business. The third question is why it went unnoticed for 20 years. A pay-first business turns cash over extremely fast, which made its true state hard to read from the outside. Small gaps were papered over with fraud, and each new loan filled the previous hole. Repeated over and over, the scale ballooned. That said, it's not quite true that lenders had nothing to go on. Cross-checking whether the deposits and receivables actually existed should have revealed anomalies, some argue. More precisely, the clues to catch it existed, but the incentive to look was weak. That 63 institutions all lent to it suggests the whole industry had let its guard down. Fourth is where Zentoshin actually stood. On paper, it was just an ordinary company, but in practice, it controlled the flow of many shops, sales, it was financial infrastructure. Money in a bank deposit is protected by deposit insurance, and a licensed money transfer operator is legally required to safeguard customer funds. A payment processor, though, depending on how its contracts are written, may fall outside those safeguarding rules. The 21.7 billion yen, roughly $145 million, owed to shops was never set aside. It dissolved into the company's own cash flow. A firm held bank-like sums with neither bank-like regulation nor segregated accounts. That is the blind spot of cashless. Fifth is what relief actually means, the distinction that matters most to the shops. Even when the state and public bodies step in, the lost sales themselves do not come back. What's on offer is loans and guarantees to prevent a chain of failures, help to keep shops borrowing so they don't collapse. So the relief is liquidity support, not compensation, an important thing to understand. The damage, too, isn't uniform. It splits into three broad layers. The shops left with unpaid sales, the institutions that lent the money, and the suppliers and employees behind them. Though the lenders are also the ones whose credit management will be called into question. Let's bring this together. Zentotion's bankruptcy looks like one payment company failing, but it leaves a much larger question. When a middleman that is neither a bank nor a licensed transfer operator controls the flow of money, the cost of its collapse landed on small restaurants. How the funds that processor holds are kept separate, and how such middlemen are supervised, will surely come under fresh scrutiny. Over 20 years, the fraud swelled, the advances went bad, and shops, sales, flowed through unprotected. Behind the convenience of going cashless, who guarantees the safety of the money passing through it? Zentotion's collapse puts that question to society, so the same thing doesn't happen again. For the full analysis and more reactions, please read our blog, Secahan, linked in the description. Thanks for watching.